Find out more. Call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844-91-BIBLE.
The 2018 Major League Baseball Hall of Fame ballot is out, and John Stolness tells us 19 first-timers are up for induction.
Chipper Jones, Jim Thome, Omar Vizquel, Johan Santana, and Chris Carpenter are among the first-time nominees. Also among the newcomers to the 33-man ballot are Jamie Moyer, Andrew Jones, Carlos Lee, Kevin Millwood, Carlos Zambrano, and Johnny Damon. Trevor Hoffman, who fell 5 votes short last year, leads the holdover list that includes Vladimir Guerrero, Edgar Martinez, Roger Clemens, Barry Bonds, Mike Mussina, and Curt Schilling. Roy Halladay, the retired pitcher who died back on November 7th when his plane crashed in Florida, will not appear on the ballot for another year. The results will be announced on January 24th. I'm John Stolness.
Duke has strengthened its hold on the number one spot in the Associated Press college basketball poll after beating then number two Michigan State. Arizona moved up to claim number two, moving up one spot. I'm Michael Toscano.
Sponsored by TheraWorks Relief. To relieve muscle cramps in your legs and feet, use TheraWorks Relief. This fast-acting foam can also prevent muscle cramps. Get TheraWorks Relief today at select CVS and Rite Aid pharmacies or TheraWorksRelief.com.
Bringing people together. Promoting the good work of everyday Rhode Islanders. Focusing on the positives of the state. That's what Common Ground is all about. Common Ground is Rhode Island's only communications outlet for working people. In print, on the air, and online. Common Ground promotes the contributions of the labor community. If you want your positive message to reach thousands of readers and listeners, call 451-1305 for sponsorship opportunities. It's time to return to Common Ground. Call 451-1305.
Corporate Transportation of Rhode Island is a 24-hour statewide sedan car service to and from all major airports. Relax, knowing wherever you need to go, Corporate will get you there safe and on time. Do you need to accommodate an important client? Got an early morning flight at TF Green? Or how about a late night pickup in Boston? Call Corporate Transportation at 231-2228 and get there with quality, comfortable transportation, reliable rates, and a courteous, experienced driver. Corporate Transportation, 231-2228.
The following paid program is furnished by Common Ground. It's for basic entertainment and informational purposes only and is solely responsible for its content. It does not necessarily reflect the views of Cumulus Media, its management, or its staff.
This is Common Ground with John Tassone on your station for Talk and Business AM 790. Call John now at 437-5000 or toll free 1-888-345-0790. Common Ground, highlighting the positive contributions made by the labor community on your station for Talk and Business AM 790. Now, here's John Tassone.
Welcome to Common Ground AM 790. I'm your host, John Tassone. Before we even start, I want to say to everybody, happy Thanksgiving. I wish you all the best. We have a lot to be thankful for, both families, unions, whatever. The thanks are there. Take them. Enjoy your Thursday with your family. Tommy Cute's in the house. Tommy is the president of ATU 618. Bus drivers, and we're going to talk a little bit, Tommy, about what happened a few weeks ago. I want to start the conversation off, but welcome and thank you for joining us today.
Well, thanks again. Nice to be here, John. And again, I want to wish all your listeners a very blessed, happy Thanksgiving. This is a time of year when we should, like you said earlier in the conversation, be very grateful for everything that we have. And
right.
Remember those who may be a little bit misfortunate. And and not being charitable.
I know you look at the paper today on the front page of the paper, you know, we're close to top in New England for homelessness, you know. So, I mean, it's really sad. It shouldn't be like this. This is America.
Right.
You know, this is not a third world country.
Right.
This,
well,
we're the leader. We're not the follower.
Just the poverty levels alone are quite striking.
Mm.
But, again, all we could do is take care of our fellow man the best we can.
Yeah. So, Tommy, a couple of weeks ago, I was reading a paper, and it was all over the news pertaining to one of your drivers who was assaulted, who, I guess, sustained pretty significant injuries.
Well, actually, it was this past week. So it happened on a bus on Charles Street, Providence. It was a group of students that were alighting the bus, and one of them of the group come up to the front and extended his hand to the driver as if he was going to shake his hand. And then when the driver turned around, he slapped him in the face because he had glasses on. He sustained a contusion over his nose, which resulted in him bleeding. He's currently out of work, and it was an unprovoked attack. And I was the last time I was on your show, you were gracious enough to have us discuss a national campaign by the Amalgamated Transit Union nationwide here in the United States and in Canada to fight for better security measures for drivers, along with other ergonomic seating improvements, air conditioning, heat, and climate control, plus keeping fumes out of buses. But I did pen a letter to the acting CEO at RIPTA, Amy Patine, requesting that all future bus purchases come equipped with a shield to secure us away from these vicious attacks. Also, I've requested that all the current buses be retrofitted within a feasible amount of time, and I'm waiting to hear back from her. But we are exposed to many dangerous situations, and this last one that's been so vicious and unprovoked is just unacceptable to the employees I represent.
So what in fact, and I want to talk to you a little bit about that, because I got an idea about legislation. What in fact that when something like this happens to one of your drivers, what is that individual charged with if they do something like that? Is it just simple assault?
Actually,
or is it a felony?
It's a felony, and it's a $3,000 fine associated with that. And they did catch this young person, and he was arrested. He took him out of school, and I guess he's currently spending his holidays down at the training school.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a charge associated with it with a fine, and maybe we need to, like you said, legislatively up those fines and up those.
I mean, they just did it for the pizza drivers. Why couldn't they do it for a bus driver?
Sure. Well, we've had this in place a long time.
You know?
This one. But normally, some of our attacks could be spitting. Hmm. It could be having food or drink thrown on us. You know, those things, sometimes you can't catch the individual who did it because they get away so fast. But now, because of the transit vehicles that RIPTA has are equipped with cameras, and the cameras are there for security, and they're also there to protect both the company and the drivers from you know, accident claims and you know, assaults like this. So that information was very helpful, and I got to commend the staff at RIPTA because they're very responsive. When an operator or an employee is assaulted over there, it doesn't have to be necessarily a bus operator, because we have folks that clean down in Kennedy Plaza.
Right.
We call them utility people, and they're out there and they're exposed to some of the elements of the street, so to speak. If
right.
It happens to be an attack on someone, they're also and street supervisors, they're also out there in the public, and they could be attacked.
You know, and I got to be honest with you, Tom, it's really sad the things that you have to legislate now.
Yes.
For someone to go up to a bus driver who is doing a service, just driving the bus so you can get from point A to point B, and gets attacked by a little snotty-nosed kid who wants to be a big shot in front of his friends.
Well, this particular operator is an outstanding human being and a good man, and it was us, the many people that work with him and know him, know that this was totally unprovoked. I saw the tape. There was the young man just extending his hand in an act of friendship, and when the driver turns around, he gets rewarded with a slap upside the head. So, I mean, this guy is totally a professional driver, very courteous, very good with the public. There was no give and take, so to speak, there. It was unprovoked.
So what are they looking to do? Are they looking just to box off that where the people walk on the bus?
Well, what we'll be looking to do is have a shield that would open up. Because there is no
sliding.
Could be sliding, but there is no entrance for a driver on the driver's side of the vehicle, like
right.
a truck.
Right.
We go in through the passenger door, and we go into our driver's compartment. That's part of what the Amalgamated Transit Union is trying to do, is get the reengineering of transit buses to maybe have that door on the left-hand side and have us totally blocked off from exposure to these types of
almost attacks. like a cockpit of a plane.
Right. If you're on a subway train, the motorman's in a cab.
Right.
But bus drivers are exposed to we're exposed to the public to these types of attacks. And as far as frequency, this is probably the fourth or fifth one that we've had probably in the last few months.
Really?
Yeah. And some don't get reported because they may not view something being directed at you verbally as an attack. But we have drivers that are threatened quite often because we run at night, and we do have female drivers. We have a lot of female operators. We probably got about 50 operators that are females. Mm-hmm. And the company does what they can to protect them. But now is time, based on the current level of terrorism in the world, to pay more attention to transit in this country, to pay more attention to the employees, the men and women who operate the transit systems throughout the United States, to give them the protections they need against these types of assaults.
Tommy, does RIPTA or the union have incident reports that drivers can fill out and hand them in?
Yes, the company does have incident reports. And again, they follow up with investigations. And in this particular case, there was an arrest made, and they'll prosecute.
So why would a driver not fill out something like that? Is it just because they don't feel as appropriate? Or is that something that you have to drill down into your members?
It depends on the level of assault. And like I said earlier in the conversation, assault can be in many different forms.
Right.
It could be slap, punch, grab, spitting. Could be objects thrown at you. Or it could be verbal. Verbal assaults happen all the time, and so should those be reported? I think if there's a threat made, absolutely. But in some cases, they may not be made by the operators because they're judging on the level of violence that was threatened to them, I guess.
Do most buses have cameras now?
The vast majority of them, they do. There might be a couple that not work because of mechanical functions, but they're quickly repaired.
What is the hold time on the camera films? Are they transported right back to RIPTA, or is there a film that is stored somewhere? How does that work?
I believe there's a hard drive.
Oh, okay.
It's actually on the vehicle.
Yeah.
And I don't know how long a loop it is because they keep that information top secret.
Yeah, yeah. No, I was just curious if, number one, about incident reports, number two, if the cameras,
right.
As you said, you saw it. Not provoked.
I requested to see the tape, and I went down to the office where they keep that information, and I viewed it.
Hmm.
And disturbing as it was, it's just sad that we live in a society where young people would act like that.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break, Tommy. We'll come right back to it. You're listening to Common Ground AM 790. I'm your host, John Tassone. We'll be right back. Very good.
Focusing on the positives of this state. That's what Common Ground is all about. Common Ground is Rhode Island's only communications outlet for working people. In print, on the air, and online, Common Ground promotes the contributions of the labor community. If you want your positive message to reach thousands of readers and listeners, call 451-1305 for sponsorship opportunities. It's time to return to Common Ground. Call 451-1305.
Corporate Transportation of Rhode Island is a 24-hour statewide sedan car service to and from all major airports. Relax, knowing wherever you need to go, Corporate will get you there safe and on time. Do you need to accommodate an important client? Got an early morning flight at TF Green? Or how about a late night pickup in Boston? Call Corporate Transportation at 231-2228 and get there with quality, comfortable transportation, reliable rates, and a courteous, experienced driver. Corporate Transportation, 231-2228.
Men, are you tired of those daily blue enhancement pills that take days, weeks, or months to work, if they ever work at all? Listen up. Now you can take Red, the new natural male empowerment pill that works on demand. Even your partner will notice the difference the very first time you use it. To prove Red won't disappoint like the others, you're invited to participate in our nationwide I Take Red Partner Reaction Guarantee Trial. We're seeking participants for this nationwide trial, not only to prove it works the very first time you try it. We guarantee your partner will also notice the difference. Forget those slow-acting blue pills and join those who proudly take red. Over 50,000 pills have already been claimed and supplies are limited. So to ensure your participation in this free nationwide trial, you must call now.
Superior Virility on Demand. You only need to take red once to see what all the fuss is about. Call immediately to participate in our free nationwide trial. Call 800-588-0769. 800-588-0769. Be one of thousands to proudly say, I take red. 800-588-0769.
Stressed about planning or paying for college? Not sure how to maximize merit scholarship money? Are you concerned about paying the balance of the college tuition bill? Or do you have student loans that you are finding it difficult to pay? If you are worried about anything that has to do with planning, preparing, and paying for college, College Advisors Group is offering a 45-minute free consultation to all friends and family of Common Ground. You can take advantage of this offer by calling 821-0080. That's 821-0080, or emailing them at collegeadvisorsgroup.com. Their website is collegeadvisorsgroup.com, and the phone number is 821-0080. Anyone who takes advantage of the free consultation is also eligible to sign up for Sage Scholars Tuition Rewards Points. Tuition Rewards Points can be used at nearly 400 private colleges as discounts on undergraduate tuition. Call 821-0080 for your stress-free consultation, planning, and paying for college. Visit collegeadvisorsgroup.com.
On Tuesday, Becky was sick. On Wednesday, she was gone.
I was there for my son's first breath and his last.
The infection spread so fast.
David got it when he was 13.
Terry was only 5.
Parents need to know.
There is something they can do.
Preteens and teens are at greater risk.
School nurses nationwide urge you to listen to the voices of meningitis. Get preteens and teens vaccinated against this rare but serious disease. To learn more, go to voicesofmeningitis.org.
The mall sure is busy today. Okay, what's on my list? Birthday present for Beth, stop at the electronics store, and then grab a quick bite. Did that guy leave his shopping bag? Looks like there's a package inside, covered in duct tape. Did he leave it on purpose? That can't be right.
Excuse me, security? I just noticed that there's a shopping
bag. We all play a role in keeping our communities safe. If you see something suspicious, say something to local authorities. If you see something, say something is used with permission by the New York MTA.
Welcome back to Common Ground AM 790. I'm your host, Sean Tassone. Tommy Cute's in the house. He is the president, business agent for Amalgamated Transit Union Local 618 and 618A, right?
That's correct.
See? I haven't lost it.
No. Nope.
Not yet.
Nope.
It's had a birthday, 59. I haven't lost it.
It's a good number.
What'd they say? Just kidding, Tom. But, Tom, I want to get back to safety. We had talked last programming pertaining to your international, talking to different outfits in the country about turning of the bus, better windows, better backup cameras, you know, the whole bit. Why is it so hard to get the transit industry to look at all the accidents and assaults that happen? I'm sure this assault, the four or five that you've had in the last couple of months, it's happening all over the country. So what is it? So why is it so difficult for somebody or some people to sit down and say, listen, we need to do this, 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 and this? Is it regulated by somebody?
Well, that's a great question, John. And that's why the ATU is doing this campaign, is because we have to change the attitudes of the folks who purchase the buses,
right,
the agencies. And once we change their attitudes towards the bus design, then they'll put out the specs that go to the bus manufacturers. So it all comes down to dollars and cents. How much will this be invested in technology or security for bus operators, and how much will it come off the price of buses or add to the cost of buses, because they have a finite number of cost. Whenever you start to add on, it's like a car. If you start to add on things, then the cost of the vehicle goes up.
Yeah, I gotta interrupt. What's the cost of a life?
Exactly.
What's the cost of someone like that young kid if he stuck his finger in your driver's eye and the guy lost his eye? What is the cost of that? I mean, that's all we look at is the low bid. We don't look at the consequences for actions of stupid people.
You're absolutely right. And that's what the argument is right now going forward, not only here in Rhode Island, but based around the country and in Canada, is that very question. You have to put a value on the people who operate the vehicles.
No doubt.
And maybe these things can be negotiated into packages, but I think mandating vehicles that have security barriers and glass partitions, that could be another national campaign as far as legislatively.
You know, they took steps to put cameras on the bus. We've had some horrific accidents with people getting killed. So now they'll take steps with vision, doing the vision. We've had some bus drivers get assaulted. But by the time they get their stuff together, there's going to be many more people being assaulted and being killed. My question to you is, as someone who's been in politics, why? Because Jack Reed gets you guys a lot of money.
Yes, he does.
Why not have a conversation with Senator Reed and say, Senator, we need a voice up in D.C. We've had X amount of people killed. We had X amount of bus drivers assaulted. When is it going to stop? I mean, we always do reactive stuff, not here in just in Rhode Island, but countrywide, instead of being proactive.
That's a great suggestion.
I mean, when they drove the planes into the towers, what happened next? We got locks on the doors. So we lost 50-some-odd hundred people because we didn't have locks on the doors in the beginning.
Yeah, that's true.
And I mean, how many drivers are we going to lose? Let me tell you something. If you get multiple drivers assaulted, you're going to have a hard time replacing those drivers with good people because people are going to say, why the hell am I going to drive a bus for $20-some-odd an hour and get the crap kicked out of me because some punky kid has got me wide open?
Sure. That's a great suggestion, and I'm going to follow up with a phone call to the senator's office and lay out the particular conversation on him.
Right. I think it shouldn't just be Senator Reed. I think White House, Cicilline, and Langevin have to all be in the room and say, listen, this is what's happening. As the world turns, it's getting progressively difficult for our drivers. This is a service. And with the opioid epidemic stuff that's going on, as you well know, right. I mean, you look at Kennedy Plaza, and the people that are down there, a lot of them don't want help. They just want to flock down there and have a great time of doing what they're doing. Very, very dangerous, especially to your drivers.
That's all. Everything you said is totally true. And Senator Reed and Senator Whitehouse, along with Congressman Langevin and David Cicilline, Congressman Cicilline, are very, very good friends of ours. They support mass transit. And that's the national conversation that's going on with the ATU. That's where Larry Hanley, the international president, and Javier Perez, the international executive vice president, come in, because they're at the congressional hearings on federal transit money that's spent on buses and bus design and the mirrors and the windshields, the barriers, and all the other things that we're fighting for the folks that operate buses to make them safer and secure, and plus give the public outside the buses a sense that, vehicles today you'll be able to see that pedestrian crossing in front of you. Whereas now on some of our vehicles, you have to, what they call, bob and weave. You have to move forward and backwards in the seat to look around that pillar on the left side of the bus.
You know what else is sad, too, Tom, is that you have people with ties, shirts, and jackets making the design suggestions instead of having you people at the table with real-life suggestions.
That's true.
That's really, that bothers me a lot.
Right. Well, they should have the bus operator for each design of bus.
Most people in your spot as business agent presidents have all come up through the ranks.
Correct.
So you guys know. So they put a safety committee together and, listen, go do what you need to do. I mean, I'm not a rocket.
We've had some success with that. We do have a safety committee, And our members have pushed for the standee line to be pushed back on the newer models, to have the floors painted a darker color so they don't really show the glare. A lot of times at night, because the vehicles have to have interior lights on, you'll have a difficult time seeing out the windshield because of the glare from inside the vehicle. So we've worked with the company to rearrange some of
the... Is that here or nationally?
That's, well, I mean, you could talk about here on those issues, but on a national issue, that could be the same. If it's happening here in Providence, it could be happening in New York or Boston or Philadelphia or anywhere they run a major transit system. That it's still, we're operating the same types of vehicles that they operate.
Yeah. How often do you communicate with, like, a New York, New Jersey, D.C., you know, the heads of those unions?
I'll see them at conferences. Mm-hmm. We have a conference twice a year up here in New England. It's called the New England Joint Conference. And many of the folks from New Jersey will come down in New York. They come visit us, and we go down and visit them. So they're good friends of ours, and they're our brothers and sisters, and they're always there to help us out just as we are to help them out.
Yeah, no, I was just curious about, you know, obviously if you it's got to be a grassroots effort of all these bus drivers and organizations to go to D.C. or write letters to D.C. and say, listen, this is progressing. It's getting progressively worse. Right. You can't tell me it's not, you know, especially in the big cities. You know, just in little old Providence over here, we've had four in the last couple of months. I can just imagine what the numbers are in New York, New Jersey, and D.C.
Well, again, some of those transit properties already have the barrier in place. We don't have it here yet in Providence, and we're moving towards pushing for new bus orders to have those installed plus retrofit the current buses that we have so we get to 100% compliance within a reasonable amount of time. This isn't going to happen overnight.
Sounds like a great op-ed to me, Tom.
It could be, yes.
You know? So what other things do you have on the horizon with the ATU?
Well, I just returned from a conference. I'm a member of the Joint Industry Council, whereas I represent school bus drivers, and one of the things the international wants us to do is become more proactive as far as breaking down revenue contracts or agreements between private school bus operators and public municipalities. There's a lot of money that gets left on the table that doesn't go into the pockets of the operators that drive those buses and goes back into the pockets of the school bus companies that run these operations. And most of them, John, are multinational corporations from offshore, like First Group. They're out of Great Britain. Nations Express is out of Great Britain. Transdev, Veolia is out of Paris, France. So there's a lot of money gets taken from public money that's going out of the country to these foreign companies.
All right, I can't leave any money on the table right now because I got to go to break to pay the bills. Y'all listen to Common Ground, AM 790. I'm your host, Sean Tassone. We'll be right back.
United Food and Commercial Workers Union, Local 328, serves the collective bargaining needs of over 11,000 workers. Local 328 represents workers in retail food, credit unions, food service, at universities and public schools, as well as healthcare, transportation, and manufacturing. Local 328 is proud of its relationship with the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society as one of its most prolific benefactors, raising close to $1 million for research. Local 328 members also serve the needs of those in need with Thanksgiving food baskets and gifts for children at Christmas. It pays to belong to Local 328.
Wesco Oil understands the challenges that the harsh weather throws at us, and maybe the biggest is how to beat the cold and keep our homes and families warm. There's no one better than Wesco Oil, a third-generation family business who provides both heating systems and assistance. Wesco serves both Rhode Island and Massachusetts, and with a commitment to providing the best value possible, Wesco offers discounts for COD. Trust the Wesco family to heat your family this winter. Call Wesco Oil at 231-3681 or 800-411-6603.
If you've fallen behind on your taxes, you know that the IRS is already coming for their money, and they'll get it too by garnishing your wages or maybe even taking your home or business. They call it enforced compliance, and you'd better watch out because the penalties and interest compound daily, making it seem impossible to ever get out of debt. You need to call the experts at Optima Tax Relief. Solving tax issues is all they do. One call to Optima starts the process to stop the demand letters and stop aggressive collection actions. business. They get to work immediately, fighting to protect your assets and helping you put your tax problems behind you. The IRS writes off millions every year, and Optima knows all the ins and outs of the IRS's tax assistance programs that could save you thousands. So what are you waiting for? Call Optima now for a free consultation.
Call 800-559-8226. 800-559-8226. 800-559-8226.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Legacy Benefit Advisors brings to Rhode Island municipalities health and welfare funds and employers. Call a Doctor Plus. In partnership with the Teladoc Network of Physicians, Call a Doctor Plus as a premier telemedicine provider, offering quality health care alternatives to employees, union members, retirees, and their families. Call a Doctor Plus offers 24/7, 365 days a year phone or video access to board-certified licensed medical doctors in whatever state you are in 10 minutes or less for a fraction of the cost of traditional care. Doctors can diagnose and prescribe for common medical conditions, send a prescription to the pharmacy of your choice, and provide a doctor's note to the patient's primary care physician. Call Bob Dumay of Legacy Benefit Advisors at 401-868-1400 for more information. That's 401-868-1400. Again, that's Call a Doctor Plus at 401-868-1400.
Hi, I'm Joan McCallan, CEO of the ICMA Retirement Corporation. Do you know if you'll be ready for retirement? You should. And now you can gain invaluable insight on how your gender, age, and income can affect your retirement plans. You can also learn how to maximize your retirement savings. Visit www.icmarc.org for more information on the National Save for Retirement campaign and start saving
now. Last time you had a chat with your daughter, what did you talk about? Clothes, her friends? Well, here's something else I'm discussing with my daughters. The connection between some types of HPV, the human papillomavirus, and cervical cancer. A cancer diagnosed in thousands of women each year. And if you're African American, you may be at higher risk, but it can be prevented through screening. Talk to your doctor about HPV and cervical cancer and visit MakeTheConnection.org. Sponsored by the Cancer Research and Prevention Foundation and the Step Up Women's Network.
Welcome back to Common Ground AM 790. I'm your host, Sean Tassone. Mr. Tommy Cute is in the house. He's the president and business manager for ATU 618 and 618A. Tommy, welcome and thank you for joining us today.
Welcome.
Bus drivers. School bus drivers.
That's for sure. We got them.
Conglomerate. I mean, that's amazing to me what you just told me about England, Germany, wherever the hell they're from.
Right. All the major school bus companies in the United States are owned by offshore properties. First Group is out of Great Britain as well as Nations Express. And they're two of the major players in the school bus industry. So the Amalgamated Transit Union has developed a joint industry council, whereas they're taking the leaders of all the locals in the United States and putting them together with a team of negotiators that is going to meet with the corporate folks to discuss our concerns and to develop best practices as far as contract language. And what folks are getting paid if a bus driver and working for the same company is making $25 an hour one place and another place they're making $15. We want to know why they can afford to do that in one place and not the other. And especially if they're ATU contracts, we want to make sure that we're consistent in applying the best practices, the best language that's being negotiated with those particular companies.
Mm-hmm. So when you negotiate with those companies, Tom, is it someone from Germany comes over here or is it just...
No, they use their local legal teams, and one of the things that we want to do with the ATU is providing to us is access to their database. When we finish a labor agreement, they want it sent to this database so they can share it with other ATU locals
right. On
any improvements that we might have made in the health care coverage or wages or, 401k plans, life insurance plans, anything like that, any benefits we negotiate that improves the lives of our members in the school bus industry, they want to know about to put in a database plan.
Hmm. Well, that's a good way to track obviously, track what other people are doing throughout the country.
Right.
You know, one of the big pushes here last year in Rhode Island was seatbelts in buses. Are you seeing that throughout the country, or is it just here in Rhode Island that they're doing that?
I imagine it probably is prevalent in other communities around the country, John, but to my knowledge, and I always only following the story here, and our school bus drivers that I represent are hardworking, safe drivers that care about the children that they carry, and their most precious cargo for their future of this country is getting on a school bus every day, and you know, our drivers take care of them. I'm very proud of those people.
Hmm. You know, I see that as far as schools, because there's, I think, what is that, like just a handful of companies now? I mean, people are buying out. The small mom and pop bus companies now are no longer there, obviously.
Well,
like a lot of other things, too.
Right. There are a few locations left that have local companies, but for the most part, you're talking about the big players, and because they have the ability to take over a contract from another carrier and bring in the equipment right away. And sometimes those contracts will require buses no later than a year old.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to bring in a new fleet of buses. They can get their hands on, 75 or 80 pieces of equipment very easily, because they have pools around the Northeast where they store buses.
Right.
If they lose a contract in Connecticut, they might have 100 buses sitting there, and now they'll ship those buses to Rhode Island.
Just take the name off.
Just put another name of the school district on it.
You know, growing up in Smithfield, there was a Donald Canetti, there was a Carlton's, and there was one other one. Can't think off the top of my head, but those gentlemen are no longer in existence, because Durham Bus Company is in there now, and before that was First Student.
Right.
So I was just curious on how many big conglomerates there are in the Northeast.
The big ones are First Group and First Student and School Bus, and Nations Express, which Durham's a subsidy of Nations Express. Mm. So those are really the two big school bus operations.
Mm.
Though in Rhode Island, there is a local one, Ocean State Transit, which is right down the trail here on the left.
I see that. Yeah.
And I'm acquaintance with the general manager of that company, and he's a local guy.
Mm.
So there are some smaller contracts that go to the smaller providers, but for the most part, the big ones are all landing in the corporate world, because they're able to go in and undercut you. If you're currently there and you have a contract, well, they might come in and offer the district, $30,000 or $40,000 less. And in this tight economy, as far as efficiencies, school departments or school committees are going to look at that and say, you know, we'll take the savings wherever we can find it.
Mm.
Even though they lose that connectivity to a local business person who might have given them the little favors that you don't usually see from the big guys, like, you know, we'll supply a free bus to you now and then to, support some civic event in the city, whereas, the big players don't have that kind of goodwill fellowship connection to the community.
How difficult, Tom, is it to hire school bus drivers? I know it's seasonal.
Right.
Is it mostly mothers that stay home? I mean, because now a lot of moms can't stay home. They need a full-time job.
Right. The pay has come up, John, because of the unionization of that industry. So now it's a decent part-time job. For a person who does not have a commercial driver's license, most of those companies will train you for nothing, and you'll have your CDL within a month, and then, you're working at a job where, the pay is it's getting better. It's a lot better than it first was when I got involved negotiating down in Warwick, it's a venue for folks to get a CDL license, and I always say that's a piece of gold once you have it, because you open the door to further employment opportunities,
right.
Whether it be in the bus industry or trucking or shuttle bus or whatever industry requires a CDL.
Mm.
Obtaining that CDL is the hardest part, because of the if you go to a private school, it's going to cost you in the area of $5,000 to $6,000.
Mm-hmm. So, once you're hired, is there a lot of movement between bus companies? As far as, I'll give you 50 cents more if you come over here. I'll give you 75 cents a month. Is there a lot of that?
You know, bus drivers, like any other industry, they talk to each other. And what are you getting paid over there? And if they get maybe a higher rate, they might, you know, jump ship. A lot of them go to RIPTA.
Really?
A lot of people that come out of the school bus industry that are driving at, that working at RIPTA, I should say, were former school bus drivers because they were able to obtain the CDL through the school bus operations. And then, you know, they go over to the Rhode Island Public Transit Authority at some point in time in their career.
Hmm. Is there many problems with the buses? I'm talking about activities on the bus with the kids and the bus drivers.
You know, they happen. They're not. They're isolated. A lot of the school trips that I've heard about.
And plus, they're not. They're not. They don't tolerate that stuff.
No, but there are some. Some individual students that might have special issues, and they have attacked drivers, or aides, or monitors that are on the bus.
Yeah.
Those folks that work with a lot of those children, they understand and they're patient, but it can be a physical assault every now and then with one of those children.
Right, right. So, how many school districts are unionized bus drivers? All of them?
Not all of them, but I would say the vast majority in Rhode Island have a union or have had a union there. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there might be a decertification drive or a change in one union to another. Since I've been involved, I've seen the number of yards grow that are unionized between the Teamsters, us, the ATU, SEIU, and I think AFSCME even has some. Those were probably the four major players in labor.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk to each other. I have a good relationship with Matt Taibbi, whom I know you know.
Yeah.
Matt's done a wonderful job at Local 251. And he's a smart, aggressive young labor leader, which we desperately need folks like Matt.
Right.
And those guys are always, you know, I pick the phone up and they have a problem, they can call me about a school bus issue and we share information.
Right. So it's not that uncommon that you have those type of conversations with other unions, even though
right. They're
competitors.
Right. Well, we want to... you know, give somebody a heads up. You know, they're doing that to us, so just be aware of same thing to reverse conversation. If something's going on in one of their places, they may call me up.
Do you have a plan? And if you don't want to disclose it, you don't have to. Do you have a plan moving forward with school bus drivers? And we're going to talk about that on the last segment. You're listening to Common Ground AM 790. I'm your host, Sean Tassone. We'll be right back.
Sponsored by TheraWorks Relief. To relieve muscle cramps in your legs and feet, use TheraWorks Relief. This fast-acting foam can also prevent muscle cramps. Get TheraWorks Relief today at select CVS and Rite Aid pharmacies or TheraWorksRelief.com.
United Rentals has the equipment you need for just about any project. They rent and sell everything from forklifts and backhoes to hard hats and duct tape. Over 600 different types of equipment, in fact, plus contractor supplies. The best part, United Rentals employees will go the extra mile to help you get the job done. Whether you're a large contractor or a weekend do-it-yourselfer, for the United Rentals nearest you, visit unitedrentals.com or call 800-UR-RENTS. United Rentals, consider it done.
Navigant Credit Union believes that time should be spent with family and friends rather than bankers. That's why Navigant Credit Union offers Journey Rewards Checking. You can open your new account online at navigantcu.org. That's easy. When you sign up for e-statements, use direct deposit, and make a minimum of 12 debit card transactions a month, you'll earn a high annual percentage yield, and your ATM fees will be refunded up to $25 a month. Call 233-4700 or stop by any Navigant Credit Union branch.
Cool.
Hi, this is Dave Campbell, president of Cool Air Creations. In 1993, I started Cool Air with one employee, a passion for the business, and the integrity to do what I promised. Today, with a team of over 40 professionals, the same passion and integrity still holds true. At Cool Air Creations, we take your image seriously. After all, why would you trust that to just anyone? I've built the most advanced production facility in the industry and put together the largest product selection available, all to provide you the best screen-printed, embroidered, or laser-decorated merchandise you can find. And since all decoration is done in-house, our art department can ensure your logo's integrity remains true from product to product, time after time, something our competition doesn't even understand. Take control of your company or organization's image with Cool Air Creations. Call 401-769-7755. That's 401-769-7755 or on the web at morethantees.com. Cool Air Creations, your source for all things promotional.
Cool air. Make you cool.
They are everywhere, on billboards, television, even here on the radio. But when you need an attorney for a workers' compensation case, you need the law office of attorney Stephen J. Dennis.
I'm attorney Stephen J. Dennis. Workers' compensation insurance is meant to help people who are injured on the job to get the benefits that they need to pay bills and cover their expenses. But oftentimes, employers and their insurance carriers make it difficult for this to happen. Just call me. I'll take on those insurance companies for you and fight to ensure that you get the full amount that you deserve. For more than 20 years, my office has protected the rights of workers in Rhode Island. No matter how tough a case or how big the insurance company, I'm in your corner. So if you've been injured on the job or have an occupational illness, trust my office with your case.
That's the law office of Stephen J. Dennis. Visit StephenJDennis.com or call them today at 453-1355. That's 453-1355. Stephen J. Dennis is Rhode Island's workers' compensation lawyer fighting for what you deserve.
Welcome back to Common Ground AM 790. I'm your host, Sean Tassone. Tommy Q is in the house, president and business agent for Division 618 ATU and also ATU 618A.
Thank you, John. Great to be here.
You have a B and a C?
Well, we have a school bus division and a firefighter subdivision.
There you go. So what's the plan? What is the plan?
Well, the plan going forward with negotiations in the school bus industry is like I earlier said in the segment about the Joint Industry Council, whereas we're going to use the best practices negotiated with those corporations to put language in and argue for benefits and compensation and also more recognition of the hours that need to be raised up. They only have a minimum guarantee of about 4 hours. So we'd like to see at least 5 to 6 hours a day that they be guaranteed. This allows them, a lot of people, my members are supporting families on these wages, and they need the hours. It's the pay could always be better, but it's not, the pay is decent,
right.
But they need the hours.
Right.
So we're going to have a contract campaign. Currently, we're going to be opening up in our yard in Warwick and Jamestown after the first of the year. I've been meeting, having breakfasts with the members to gather information, to form action teams, and to involve the membership in the collective bargaining process. A lot of times, as you know, John, being a professional negotiator yourself and former business agent, is the members are somewhat left out.
Right.
Until the final package is brought in, and then...
then it's too late.
Then it's too late for them. If, oh, why didn't we get this? Or how come we didn't ask for that? So I want to make sure that every possible proposal that would come from the membership will be explored and incorporated. I don't think there's any proposal too outlandish unless it was a give back. If we were giving up something we have now, we wouldn't do that. But for the most part, some of the comments I've received obviously surround higher wages, a better benefit package, a more guaranteed pay time when the school's canceled. As you know, Warwick had the sick out. Well, my members lost wages over that. They didn't work. So that's a problem. If school gets canceled for any reason, the bus company, I believe, gets paid for the day regardless because they have a contract with X amount of days.
Right.
But the my drivers don't necessarily get compensated for that sharing of the wealth, so to speak. We're trying to do things differently. We're going to go to the table, and we're going to be prepared, and we're going to argue as best we can for a better improvement. But that's what the JIC, the Joint Industry Council, is going to provide for myself and my negotiating team, is the data we need to go in and break down that RFP, request for proposal, and the contract that's signed with a community. In those contracts is the actual dollars that are going to be put aside for a health care plan, for a 401k plan. Mm-hmm. So if folks don't participate in that, that's money left in the employer's pocket.
Right.
Plus whatever they have for the cost of the contract, and we want to make sure we get a decent raises out of that. You know, we know that the company has to make a profit, and we know it's a private industry, but we want to be recognized through compensation that our labors are dedicated people that you know, drive the buses and take care of the kids on a daily basis in Rhode Island. They need to be compensated at a living wage.
Right, right. Well, who oversees the bus industry, school bus industry? Does anybody oversee it?
That's a great question. I know that the out-of-district trips was centralized into a central delivery system for a school bus service. Those are the trips that would operate obviously from like Pawtucket and would go to Cranston or Warwick.
Yeah.
They're special statewide services that are coordinated with one particular employer. We had a discussion off mic that I was you had said that maybe this needs legislation. I would think it would be more advantageous and probably cost effective and efficient if the state took over and had a school bus authority like they do have transit authority. Mm. And that way they could negotiate with one employer or be the employer and purchase whatever vehicles they needed to do, and it might save the cities and towns a considerable amount of money when it comes to transportation costs. Maybe it's something that should be looked at going forward. Mm. But school bus transportation is very expensive, and now, especially with all-day kindergarten, a lot of the communities don't have to transport during the middle part of the day, so that's hours that are lost for my drivers that right. We're counting on those extra hours. Mm. But it also puts more pressure on schedulers to make sure that there are enough buses available to transport the little kids home, the elementary, junior high, and high school, because they're all getting out around the same time, and you have to have multiple buses there available to transport them.
So maybe you need to take a look at that. Maybe that'll be in your legislative package this year.
I think that would be a wonderful piece of legislation, just the exploration of it, it might save the state a considerable amount of money, because they could build facilities around the state, staff them with maintenance folks, and keep it as efficient as possible.
Right. And, you know, and you're right, because we as a state were so small that we need to start looking at consolidation of services. Obviously, when you have bus drivers, I mean, look at your organization at RIPTA. You have extra men in the office over there just in case that you have to put on other runs. If they have to put other runs on the bus, school bus end of it, I don't believe they have any extras hanging around the yard.
Well, some have spares, but not in a prepared way that RIPTA does. RIPTA has a spare ratio off the number of fixed route bus drivers that they have. It's a mathematical formula.
Yeah.
So the same could be applied in the school bus industry in case you had to have an early release or there was an emergency someplace and you had to come up with 10 or 15 buses. Hmm. That's very true.
Hmm. You know, it's especially now with today's society the way it is. We just had something come over our phones about a school being locked down.
Yep.
You know, I mean, if that school has to be locked down past the hours of operation, then what do you do?
Right. Right.
It, you know, the bus drivers, some bus drivers have families that they have to go and they have to go take care of. But so now you have all these kids.
They're stranded.
Stranded to trying to get a ride home on a bus.
Yep.
Probably can't get a hold of all the parents unless that.
Well, as you well remember the debacle when we had that snowstorm, freak snowstorm in the afternoon when children were trapped on buses or in schools till 11 o'clock at night.
No doubt.
So those are situations that, you hit the nail right on the head as usual, being skilled in the litigation and legislative issues of the State House. Those are the thoughts of a quick mind, John, and I enjoy being with you.
Well, the thing is, too, that, you know, you don't want to put a piece of legislation in without thinking of the consequences. And a lot of times, and I was at fault at that in the beginning, because you think it's a good idea, but when you actually sit down and debate it, the ultimate consequences are worse than what you really have today. But in a case of a school bus authority, that's a no-brainer. To me, it is anyway.
Right.
I mean, I think the companies would squawk about it and complain about it. But ultimately, somebody needs to keep a lid on these companies.
Well, Rhode Island has five counties, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So you could have five divisions of that, authority.
Exactly.
That you'd have a pool of vehicles matching the needs of the communities within it, and they could share the cost in it. And, you could probably build a facility in each county that would have a maintenance facility plus enough space to store the vehicles. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the government would have a say in controlling those costs going forward with the labor force and dealing with organized labor.
Exactly. Exactly. Tommy, I want to thank you for coming on today. It's always a pleasure to have you on. I wish you, your family, and your members a happy Thanksgiving. Look forward to seeing you up at the State House in January with a couple of ideas that I gave you today. So
thank you very much, Sean.
Wish you all the best.
I wish you and your listeners, again, a happy Thanksgiving. It's always a pleasure to be with you. Thank you, John.
And make sure you make those calls to the key legislators in the federal level, because they are fighters. The four of them are fighters. And I think you'll find out that you may do very well with that.
I appreciate that advice. Right.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. You'll listen to Common Ground AM 790. I'm your host, Sean Tassone. See you next week.
Lean on me. When you're not strong, and I'll be your friend, I'll help you.
If you're feeling low with nowhere to turn, call the Samaritans at 40. 40-